Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the heart of man was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Amen. So for those of you that were not here last night, I started sharing on the heart, and the very first thing I shared was that people are looking for change and all of these things to come from the outside, but the Bible teaches us that as your heart goes, that's the way your life goes. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And people are praying for change, and they're looking to the government to give them this. And if I had more money, if I had an education, if I just had this and this and this, everything would be fine. But no, the problem is the heart of man. And I was quoting a Barna survey that over 70% of the Americans believe that people are at their heart basically good. That's not what the Word of God teaches. I use Jeremiah 17:9 that says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psalms chapter 51, verse 5, David said, I was conceived in sin. That doesn't mean he was conceived out of wedlock. It's talking about that we were born with a sin nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, by one man sin entered into the world. You were born a sinner. And then we used all of these verses. Let me turn back to Romans chapter 5 and just start here. This is kind of where I ended last night. And in Romans chapter 5... In verse 19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So it is not your individual sins that made you a sinner and that made you separated from God. You were born separated from God, and it was this sin nature that causes people to act out the way they do. Some people, because of different things, act out their sin nature less than others. You know, I was raised in a very legalistic home. I used to have a dream when I was a little kid that I had smoked a cigarette and I got caught and they turned me into the police and the police turned me over to my mother. And after my mother had nearly beat me to death, I wound up in hell. And I would wake up in a cold sweat, and I had this dream at least once or twice a year for probably 5 or 6 years, that I had gone to hell because I smoked a cigarette. And people think, boy, you were messed up. Well, I was. But you know what? The law put such a fear in me that I have never said a word of profanity. I'll be turning 68 next month. I've never said a word of profanity. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. I am Mr. Holy. Some people think, coffee? You got a scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. Mark 16:18 says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you, amen. So you got a scripture to stand on. I'm just saying that, man, I have lived a holy life. But you know what? All of sin comes short of the glory of God. I was headed to hell. It doesn't matter if you're a good sinner or a bad sinner. Who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? Not me, amen. So what I'm saying is the law can restrain maybe the amount of sin, but it can't change your nature. You are by nature a sinner before you get born again. I also used Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and a lot of things. And I use 5 different times here in this chapter where it says that by one man judgment came, by one man sin came, by one man condemnation came. It's not what you've done. If you understand this correctly, it opens salvation up to even the worst sinners. Because maybe you acted out more than I did. Maybe you've done things that I haven't done. But you know what? There's not a hell number 2 or a hell number 3. If you miss heaven by an inch, you miss it by a mile. We're all in the same boat. You know, I went and spoke at a place in the Okefenokee Swamp in Florida. And there is a rehabilitation thing there where they take in these people who are murderers and stuff. And after they've served time, they go to this. And it's surrounded by swamp. They can't get out of the place. And they have about 600 men there. And they're all rapists and murderers and con artists and things like this. And I went in and I shared my testimony and told them, I've never said a word of profanity. I've never done this. And you would think that this just immediately creates a gulf. And that how am I ever going to minister to these people? And I told them my testimony and I said, but you know what? There's not a person in here that was going to go to a worse hell than I would have gone to. We all are in the same boat. And I began to preach grace unto them and let them see. See, if you don't understand what I'm saying, and if you think it's your individual sins that make you disconnected from God and worthy of judgment, then you're going to think, well, my sin was worse than yours, and how could God ever use me? But once you understand that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we're all in the same boat. And it doesn't matter if you've murdered, killed, done whatever. You were a sinner, not because of those individual things, but because of that sin nature. And Jesus died and paid for that sin nature. The sins of everybody. Sins. Well, I'm going to say some things here that I wished I had more time to explain. But anyway, hope the Holy Ghost just helps you to understand this. But you know what? Sin's not the big deal. It's the sin nature that's the problem. Matter of fact, in the book of Romans, I wish I had time to show you this, but there's like 48 times that the word sin is used. And did you know it's a noun instead of a verb? For those of you who didn't do very well in school, what that means is it's not describing an action, something that you did, but it's describing your sin nature. Out of those 48 times, I think 46 of those times, it's talking about your nature, not about an action. Jesus died for your sin. When I lead people to the Lord, last night we had, does anybody know, did you get a count, Carly, on how many people came forward? 90 people came forward, and how many got born again? 16 people received their salvation last night. And when I led them in a prayer, I don't know if you were paying attention, but I said, Father, I said, thank you that you died and have forgiven my sin, singular. That's what I said. But did you know that everybody, as they repeat it, says, thank you that you have forgiven my sins, plural. People think it's your individual sins that cause problems. And therefore, if you've done a lot of sins, how could God ever forgive me? But it's not that. It's your individual sin. The sin nature is what sends people to hell. And some people just let that nature have more dominance than others. But it's the sin nature, not your individual sins, that sends you to hell. Once you understand this, it opens up salvation to everybody. It doesn't matter what you've done. God can forgive that sin nature. Man, that is a great truth. And that's what these verses were saying, that through one man, sin entered the world. You became a sinner because of what Adam did, not because of what you did. Your actions are just a byproduct of that sin nature. So that's what we talked about all last night. And let me just turn over here to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I wish I had time to give you all of this, but this is a brief introduction to what he was talking about. And he was saying that even though we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8 says God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us not after we had cleaned our life up and made ourselves worthy. Jesus didn't come to save the godly. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, that Jesus came to save the ungodly. Unless you're ungodly, you can't be saved. Anybody who thinks, God, I'm really good, I know you're going to save me, you can't be saved. You got to humble yourself and come to a place where you realize you can't save yourself, that you are not worthy to stand in the presence of God. And you have to humble yourself and receive salvation as a gift. So that's what he's been talking about. And then he showed us that through Adam, we all became sinners. And then the end results of this in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Did you know if you preach grace properly, if you talk about that it's not your individual sins, God just loves you and he wants to forgive you of this sin nature. And if you say that, I can guarantee you there's somebody in this auditorium that when I said these things about sins, not the real issue, there's somebody who took offense. There's somebody who said, you're just encouraging sin. You're just saying that so then you can go live in sin. The next verse says, God forbid. Did you know in the Greek, this is as close to profanity as you can get without just taking the name of God in vain. It is an absolute unqualified negative. No, absolutely not. God forbid, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not encouraging sin. If you're living in sin, you're stupid. But what I'm saying is, God loves you, stupid. Sin is stupid. It goes on to say down here in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you go out and live in sin, it's not only God that is affected, but you open up a door to the devil. You allow Satan to come in and to destroy you. If you go out here and commit sin, you could sit there and say, but you know, God has forgiven me. He's changed my nature. And so therefore, it's not based on my actions. It's based on whether or not I've been born again and have a new heart. And you know, that's absolutely true. And so you could go out and rob a bank saying it doesn't matter. God will still love you. And as you sit in your prison cell and waste away, you could just fellowship with God and you're still the righteousness of God. God forgives you. God gives you a new heart, but there are still consequences to sin. And you're just stupid if you go live in sin. But God loves you, stupid. He will fellowship with you. You know what? If you ruin your marriage, go out and commit adultery, God still loves you, but I guarantee you there's going to be consequences to it. And on and on. There's still benefit to living holy. So when he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Of course not. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what anybody who's preaching the true gospel is saying.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the heart of man. This five-part series was recorded at the 2017 Washington, D.C. Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM293 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
For those of you that may not have heard, the Lord has instructed me to raise up a Bible college that's going to change people's lives, and we are in the process of doing this. We now have over 6,000 people in our whole Charis Bible College system worldwide, and we are building a main campus in Woodland Park, Colorado that we call the Sanctuary. We have a $180 million building program that we're going to be doing over the next 5 or 6 years. And it's just going to be awesome. People's lives are already being changed. I would invite you to join with us. You can go to our website at awmi.net and get the information and join with us right there. But praise God, be a part of what God is doing.